Welcome to the Core Women Podcast, the place for women entrepreneurs, authors, and self-starters looking to build community and gain valuable insights through expert interviews with women at the top of their game. Join your host, podcaster, producer, expert coach, entrepreneur, and author, Dr. Summer Watson, as she aims to inspire and empower you through these candid conversations. Lean in and embrace the journey. It's time to start the show. Here's your host, Dr. Summer Watson.
Today on the show, I would like to welcome Laura Tavares, who is a first-generation Latina immigrant, mom, leadership, and resilient coach. And she holds a bachelor's in business leadership and a master's in industrial and organizational psychology. I am so excited that you are joining me here today on the Core Women Podcast. So let's jump right into this, Laura, and welcome.
Thank you. I am super excited to be here as well and ready to jump into this conversation and looking forward to what comes up into fruition.
Oh, absolutely. Yay, I'm excited. So before we delve into the professional aspects of your life, if you could describe your journey in one word to this point, what would that word be and why?
I would have to say resilience. The reason for that would be because we all go through various things in our life, right? And life happens around us consistently. And we have this vision and this idea of the things that should be happening. And sometimes we have to pivot and we have to readjust and we have to realize that some of those things, while we're going towards and reaching some of our goals, they may not happen exactly as we thought. And so being able to be resilient in those spaces, pick up, dust it off, re-envision, imagine what's really truly driving that goal, and being able to do that in a resilient way, that's in a way that's going to be meaningful for you and those around you, has really been impactful in my life. And I think that that's one of the words in general that I always, you know, think of when I set goals, or when I think of what's next for Laura, or what's next for my family, or what's next for my team, is also how do we proactive in bringing in some of that resilience, right? And understanding that we need to stand tall and we need to really be able to manage our goals and our lives in a way that is effective so that we can continue to move on through what life throws at us.
I love how you kind of bring that all together, Laura. I really appreciated when you said resilience is about deciding what is meaningful for oneself and for others. I think that's so important because a lot of times we have to take it outside of that kind of ego and think about the other. I get thinking about ourselves, and I think that's first where we need to begin. But then we think about our family, community, all of those other things, all those other people. Thank you for bringing that into context and for us to better understand where you're coming from. So let's talk about being a first generation Latina immigrant, being a mom, and your passion and mission to ignite work-life harmony and empower women to navigate their careers with confidence, authenticity, and meaning. We've talked about the meaning part, but I know that's a lot to kind of digest, but let's break it down. First generation Latina immigrant, being a mom. Tell us more.
Yeah. So I'm a California girl at heart, but honestly, I'm a Baja California girl at heart, right? So I was born in Mexico, migrated here when I was about 6 years old, five, 6 years old, and I have been here ever since. Now, growing up Latina, you know, English is my second language. So only having known Spanish coming into the country, I also experienced a lot of, you know, childhood adversities and things like that. And so not only did I have the cultural barriers, but also coming into a family that I needed to support a lot. And I became like the parent of the family. And so growing up in that environment has empowered me in so many ways. And I would have to say that in being a mom, most of all, because I have learned not only, you know, I talked a little bit earlier about life is going to throw different things at you. And so how do we react to those? And how do we be proactive with that? I got a lot of that very early on, you know, coming here to the United States and, you know, having to learn the language, having to learn the culture, and then also having to learn adult responsibilities quite quickly. how that led into me being a mother. I am super passionate about my son and his journey, and just grateful to be a part of his journey. And I think that a lot of the learnings that I had very early on helped me to be the mother that I am grateful to be. And also just in growing up and facing those cultural barriers and facing those barriers, even, you know, with the goals that I had and the aspirations that I had to become a career-oriented woman and to be that example for not only for my son, but also to my family and for those around me, and go to school and get the career and help people and have a purpose, you know, so many things. Like, how do you do all of that? And so that's just a little bit about me, you know, growing up. We could go into different aspects of it, but I think interwoven through all of it all, like what we talked about earlier, is like resilience and that driven, that heart purpose, really having that to lean on when you are facing those things, right? I'll give you an example. So I grew up in the front lines of the corporate world, right? I started off and really quickly got into retail management. I was managing my own store by the time I was 19. They could just not wait to give me the keys. And I was like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's have fun, right? And I think it was that leader within me, that more of a want, that passion and that yearning to help others be successful, that really helped me catapult into where I am today. And that just really pieces it together for me.
I certainly appreciate you sharing what it was like coming to this country, being that first generation, being that model, understanding your path, and also, here's a biggie, and I think that it's kind of overlooked sometimes. You could have been caught up in like a serious enmeshment just trying to survive. There's all these various nuances to coming to a country where you're learning the language, trying to get a job. You have parents that potentially, or family members that don't speak the language. They look to you to really help them navigate through some of these different obstacles. How did you, in all of that, objectively take a look at that and go, you know what? I want to be helpful. I love my family, but I also need to establish my own goals and serve as a model. How did you objectively look at that when you were in it? Because you could have stayed there and said, I'm just going to survive here. We're just going to survive. But you did more than that.
I love everything that's encapsulated in that question. Because you're right, you're so in it. And especially when you have, you know, for my family coming over, and if I look at my aunts and my uncles and, you know, my grandparents, just being here and thriving and doing the best that we can is so much, it's such a big vision. And we were already accomplishing so much. But to your point, when you know you want more and you know you can step outside of that and just reach, you know, that higher potential or stretch the boundaries just a little bit, for me, it was a misalignment. And that's such a big word, but I can break it down in terms of you just feel it. And it's so simple that we just overlook it sometimes. And I'm very passionate about talking about, you know, what do you feel in your heart and what is your body telling you? Because there's just something. And it's an ongoing practice for me. I can't say that today I know exactly where I'm going to go in my path and I know exactly what I'm going to do in the moment. I practice it every day. I have a very strong family. I'm a very strong-minded person. And so I'm continuously having to remember to listen to myself. Where am I feeling in my body? Am I misaligned? Is something feeling off? Because our heart is so powerful and can tell us so much, really, right? That's our intelligence. For me, that's what I believe. Learning how to really be mindful of that has been extremely powerful for me. How do you notice that instinct, that feeling? It could be just a thought. It could be an actual feeling in your body. You know, I feel it in my chest. I feel it, you know, in my hands. I move around a lot. I do whatever it might be, just being mindful of how our body is in that environment can tell us so much. And then what do we do with it from there, right?
Yes.
That's what I think is most important, because I mean, I'll tell you, I am also very excited to share that I will be co-authoring in a book, Latinas Rising. It's going to be coming out in spring of 24. And I talk about this a lot in terms of what is your body telling you, but then what do you do with it? when you're listening to your heart, when you have that thought, when you have that feeling in your chest, what does it mean to you? And what do you do with that? That helps you then now push those boundaries. That helps you stand tall and say, I see something different here. I see a potential for this. And being able to communicate it effectively, and that others, sometimes you don't need people buy-in, sometimes you do, but so that others also can be inspired by that heart-inspired action that you're taking. That's been big for me.
Well, again, we are in alignment here. I hear what you're saying about, especially about the emotional intelligence. There's that component, listening to your heart, identifying, also putting a name to it. I'm feeling a certain way, or my heart is feeling a certain way. How is my body feeling? So there's that emotional intelligent component of this. Then there's the next step for me. I'm a doer. And what it sounds like is you're a doer. And there's a balance to this. And there's that emotional agility component. Now, the emotional agility component is with these feelings, with this heart-centered focus, is how do you put a name to it? And then how do you move forward after you've not only put a name to it, but you've embraced it and understood it? Then what's the process for you? And we each have our own process, which is something I'm going to take us back to, is your process. You said there's days where I just need to remind myself to listen to my heart. There's days that sometimes I get so wrapped up in A, B, or C that I need to bring myself back to, oh, yes, this is what my mind, my body, my heart is telling me. I need to get it back into alignment. This is feeling good. This is not feeling so good. This is not feeling right. I love that you have that process. And something else you said is you do it daily. You do it often because it becomes then a habit. And yet, even though it's habit, we still have to remind ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you're talking this language, speaking this language, because it's not just a theory, but it's a practice. Let's get into talking more about one of the areas that you feel strongly about is acknowledging the past and the present. But while you were doing this to also live your vision, tell us more about this idea, because I love it. And tell us more about the whole idea, but also how, and I think you've kind of touched on this already, but also how you put that into practice where you're managing both the past, present, but moving forward in your vision as well.
Yes, absolutely. I think the acknowledgement of the past is key in terms of what did I gain from those experiences? What do I want to pull from those experiences? And not necessarily just having the past be the past. The past is a part of who we are. It's a part of who we bring with us on a day-to-day basis. And being able to lean into those strengths. And you brought up a really good point in terms of the, you know, our expectations coming here to this country and what would be enough, and how I wanted to pull from those boundaries and kind of say, hey, I see other potentials. That's a big part of who I am. Acknowledging that, even though, you know, there were a lot of challenges, and some people we might want to say, oh, well, we can leave the past in the past, or I don't really want to talk about that. It's who we are. So we bring that with us. But being very strategic about what part of it are we bringing with us leans me into like our strengths. Based on our experiences, what strengths did we cultivate from those experiences that we can use in the now to help us plan for the future? Like, acknowledge that, use that base and that foundational strength that we have to help lean us into our future and focus on that, right? Focus on how those experiences could help us versus those experiences. Well, you know, an example of it is my parents migrated us here. I've done well for myself. I should be happy. And I should be, right? But when we want to push those limits and we want to push those boundaries, how can we lean on those strengths of what I've learned in that space to help us do that? Because we're all evolving. We have conversations. I have conversations with my parents and with my aunts and my uncles sometimes. And in that conversation, we're evolving. So it's an ongoing thing. And so being able to lean into our past. And I think when you talk about how do we put it into practice for our vision is, again, leaning into those strengths. I envision this and what's going to help us get there. And it's not always just your strengths. It's the strengths of your community and the people around you and sharing that vision with someone and being able to bring people into that vision so that you all can be a part of something bigger.
I absolutely love this. I also want to talk about and identify embracing the past, embracing where you've come from. Because when we get into a new situation, a new culture, a new environment, we look at what we want to be. But if we don't have balance of where we've come from, who those people, who I am, what that means to me, then we're getting into this misalignment. So I think that a lot of times people want to like either poo-poo or say, no, that was the past. And I say, sometimes we need to take a glance back at the past because the past is what has brought us to where we are today.
Yes.
To be able to find that alignment, understand your past, bring what works for you forward, and then we go on this mission of A, B, or C. And so I hear a lot of this in you, in your story as well. And you've put that into practice. You embrace that past to bring it towards the future. I love that. To be able to identify that, not neglect it, not be embarrassed by it, because I come from a very diverse cultural and racial background, very diverse. And there were certain things that were said to me, told to me, conditioned. I'm like, no, I'm not going to address that. I'm not going to address that. And I felt myself, as I was going through college, questioning a lot of things, learning about a lot of different cultures, like, I'm in a misalignment. Like, if I neglect that or that part of me or those people in my life, how is that bringing alignment into my life? And why should I not be proud of that? It was something I also had to learn through my process and through my journey, which made me a whole person. And I love that you say you have these conversations. You have these conversations with your aunts, your uncles, your parents. Yes, because if we want to continue to grow, we have those conversations. We embrace growth. That is exactly what I'm hearing. And I'm so excited for you. Let's talk a little bit about this book that you're co-authoring. Tell me more.
Yes. Yeah, so it will be a, you know, compilation of a bunch of beautiful, rich, authentic, driven Latina women talking about their experience, talking about breaking cultural barriers and just talking about success and drawing upon our culture and, you know, the things that we've gone through. And I love that it's going to be so many stories embedded into the book because we all have our own story and we all have so much to share. That will be coming out in the spring. I'll be posting information about it on LinkedIn. And so if anyone wants to learn more about it, it's coming. I'm super excited about it. But what I love about the idea about this book is the acknowledgement of the community and the strong and powerful voice that we all come with, and how when we share that voice, similar to what we're doing here today, the power in it. I can feel it all everywhere in my body, right? Because not only do we relate and we connect to people, but it's inspiring to know that, hey, you know, things are not that easy all the time. And things are not this picture perfect scene of the written down trajectory of you do this, check off the box, you do this, check off the box, and then you're going to get there. And that's a for sure thing. It's your experience and how you live through that experience and how your mindset is through that experience. And so through this book, you'll get to learn so much about so many amazing women and hopefully be inspired by the stories and maybe even to tell your own story.
Oh, bravo. You know, as a researcher, as somebody who utilized phenomenology with my research, that's a big word. And all it means is the lived experiences of others. How are you reporting back the lived experiences of others? This book is a compilation of those lived experiences. This podcast is a compilation of many women coming together. I'm almost at my 300th episode of many women coming together and telling their different journeys, talking about their different stories. What I like about this book that you're going to be part of, the core is you are Latina women. But here's the difference, that phenomenology, those stories, those experiences. Yes, there is a core theme. Yes, there is a core mission here, core purpose, but your stories are unique to you. there's a richness, as you said, in that. So thank you for sharing that. I can't wait to hear more about this book, to read this book. So make sure you tag me when it starts coming out, because I want to share the book with others as well. Make sure that I support women in our community. So you've talked about this. You are a coach. How do you help others kind of refashion hardships and embrace their own resilience as a coach?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, let me just say congratulations to you on the milestone with your podcast. That is amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm grateful for you.
Thank you.
So I think what's important for us is reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is we are so in the weeds of that hardship and what it is that we are experiencing in the moment that we are doing our best to listen to our heart, to be mindful, to do all of the things. And then we overcome obstacles. Sometimes we just overcome those obstacles and try to move on, right? Like, what's the next thing? I did it. Yay. Let's move on. But I think it's really important to reflect on those hardships. What did we learn? I think I talked about this a little bit earlier. And what strength can we pull from it, right?
Right.
What do we want that experience to have taught us? Not only so that we can plan for the future, because, I mean, as we know, we can't plan for everything. But most importantly, I think for me, of who are you going to be in that space when that next obstacle comes up? What empowerment are you going to gain from that experience? From my perspective, we can only do that if we allow the time to reflect.
Yeah.
I don't mean reflect like, wow, that was hard. I did that, and dwelling in that space. I don't know. For me, I guess it could be a little bit tricky too, because I don't want to go back into it, right? What I want to do is do intentional reflecting, like setting time aside and saying, man, that was tough, and acknowledging and embracing all of the things that you went through and giving yourself credit for having done that. And then also feeling empowered by what you've accomplished and taking that learning and taking that insight to be intentional with it in the future.
Thank you so much for that. And I hear so much here about being reflective, but also being intentional, and then also not being reactive, but being responsive. So how are you going to take that information and really be responsive to the next steps or in your next steps versus like, okay, I'm going to react and I'm going to like, you know, just go on to the next step. And no, you're really saying stop, reflect, take it in, digest it. And then what's your response going to be? And what's your ultimate goal, you know, or the goals that you want to accomplish? What do those look like? And how can you reach those without being reactive, but more so being responsive to that? And I love the whole idea of intentional reflection. So we've covered so much ground here, Laura, today. And as we come to the close of the interview, my last question is, if you were to give the listeners just one tip to break through their barriers, what would that be?
Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Sometimes when we have barriers that we're trying to overcome, we get caught up in what is the barrier? What are the what ifs? What could happen? This could happen. And that's all very important. But I think for me, getting caught up in it, in your mind, and all of these what ifs and all of these different routes that we could take can bring us to a point where we're just indecisive, or we just make the wrong decision because we're using just all analytics. What could happen here? What could happen there? If we just pause and listen to our hearts, listen to that message maybe doesn't even mean anything to you right in that moment, but write it down, put it somewhere, and then meditate on it, think about it. I think that's the most powerful tool to help overcome our obstacles. Listening to our heart is so powerful, and it's a practice. If you're not including that into your lifestyle or to your daily practice, like what we talked about earlier on in the interview, it's like a new muscle that you have to start learning how to use. You do it little by little every day, whether it's, you know, mindfulness or heart-focused breathing, or there's so many tools out there. But embracing and bringing that into your daily routine is going to help you build that muscle. So where when you do have that intuition, that gut feeling, that heart message, that, you know, we call it so many things, you build a good relationship with it and you start to have conversations with it which will help you overcome and cross over any barriers.
Love that. Thank you, Laura, for joining me on the Core Women podcast today.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
And I appreciate you. You can follow Laura Tabarez on LinkedIn, on Facebook at Coach Laura Tabarez, and at www.lauratabarez.com.
Thank you for joining us on the Core Women podcast with Dr. Summer Watson. We're so glad you're here and would love to connect more with you. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Core Women, and on Twitter at Core Women One. For more about Core Women and Dr. Watson, visit corewomen.com. Want more support and resources for amazing women like you? Great! Join Dr. Watson and Jen Fontanilla at the Life, Love, and Money Collective, a Core Women production that aids in understanding the key traits that might be getting in the way of living a life that you are absolutely passionate about. Connect with Summer and Jen and find out more at thelifeloveandmoney.com.